Okay, let's go ahead and get started. We'll open with prayer and we'll get started. Dear Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for your opportunity we have to teach it, Lord, and to learn it and to study it. And Lord, we're all learning together. And we're thankful that we have this instruction book. Lord, where would we be without it? And Lord, you've given it to us out of your love. So we just pray that you'll open our hearts, Lord, for the message we have, all of us. And Lord, be with me as I go through this, and Lord, just controversial areas we're talking about here. And again, Lord, I just pray that I will be speaking the truth, Lord, and rightly dividing your word. And Lord, I've asked for your help, and I'll ask for it again, Lord, to direct our teachings, and Lord, and help it not to be false. So we just pray again, Lord, thank you for the privilege, and thank you for the rain, Lord. What a wonderful thing that is. And just pray that you'll guide and direct our lesson this morning, and I pray that you'll be glorified through the process. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Mr. Royce has got an answer for us. I brought up a question, when we went to the ark, that they said something about they really didn't believe what it said there, as I understood it. They can't say for sure that it never rained, until the flood. That's what I'm trying to say. He's got the official answer right from Ken Ham's book.
From Ken Ham himself.
If I need this thing here. Oh, ooh, okay. Ken Ham points out, and you can look this up here too, in Genesis 2:5, might want to glance at that. It's an indication that there was no rain before man was created, because it says, because man had not been there. Is that what your Bible says? I want to make sure I'm paraphrasing this right, and I am paraphrasing it. But so we know for a fact that it was a mist and not a rain through day 5 and up until man was created sometime in there, which he was created on day 6. The next mention of rain is in Genesis 7:4, when God tells Noah that go into the ark, if I'm saying that, remembering this right, for I will not cause it to rain for 7 days. Okay, there's no mention of rain before. One could infer possibly that because there was no rain before man, it may have continued on as the same hydrological raining system. Or it could have started to be able to rain. And looking backwards, one might infer that, well, there's no mention of rain, so we got another 7 days without rain. Or it had rained, and God said there would be no rain for the next 7 days. Ken's point is, no reason to be dogmatic on it. It could or it could not have happened, but the two references as far as rain is concerned are right there, and you can look at Genesis 2:5 and 7:4, and there's no other. Walt's going to correct me here. For the purpose of rain, but it was a mist.
It was a mist.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, kind of. Right. So, and that was my recollection of what is at the Answers in Genesis Museum, is when you walk out along the path, I was half right here. It was an indication, or it was a kind of a their attempt to recreate life before man as the mist was there. So, anyway, that's a Ken's official answer in his first answer book. So if you want to look at his answer, so any other comments? Yay, nay?
Yeah, ask Royce now.
Okay, Mick,
while he's
yes.
up there.
Mick. Possibility. There's some inference. Well, I guess not going to be any rain. Or he didn't say, well, what's that?
Yeah.
Yeah, so there could have been something. There were, we do know there were four rivers. We do know that it, life was, because of the canopy, the whole atmosphere was different than what we have now. We have no idea how it was. So again, Ken says, no need to be dogmatic and say, you know, there was definitely rain, and anybody that doesn't believe that is not a Christian. No, okay, all right. So just keep that in mind here. So, but we brought that issue up, and I had to get to the bottom of that. So, so yes. So, yes. So we had below and we had above. So, right? Is that your point? Okay. All right. Jim,
don't
back to you.
Leave. Any other questions, fire them at him. All right.
He's more of a deep thinker than I am, and he's got the answers that I don't. So, anyway. Okay. We have a visitor this morning, John. Could you introduce your visitor to us?
Yes, this is our neighbor, Bob Bellotta. He's been here, I think, once before, but he came with us today.
Very good. Bob, we're glad to have you. Welcome to our church today. Thank you for coming. So come back anytime. Glad to have you. Okay. Any other visitors? Okay. All righty. Okay, let's turn in our Bibles to Genesis chapter 2. We finished verse 19 last week, but to get up to speed, let's go ahead and read 18 through 20. So let's go ahead and read Genesis chapters 2, verses 18 through 20. And who'd read that for us, please? Delbert? Okay, thank you, Delbert. All righty. So just a very quick review on verses 18 and 19. God said it's not good that man should be alone. He needs a helpmeet. And then in verse 19, it says God formed and made all the beasts of the field and the fowls of the air out of the ground, the dust. And so every living creature, fowls of the air and everything like that is made from dust, just like we are. And in another verse, it says, and out of the ground, God made all the plants and stuff like that. So God, he didn't create, to be technical, he didn't create man. He didn't create these things. He made them, because to create means to make something out of nothing. And he used dirt to make us and to make all the plants, animals, and et cetera. So, and then it says, Adam names all of the creatures, and then this takes place on day six before Eve is made, okay, which comes later on. After, and so in the morning, or whatever, in the first part of the day, I'll put it like that, Adam names all the animals and all this other stuff. And then the question we talked about, how would Adam have time to name all those animals in only a part of a day? You know, mankind says that'd be impossible, okay? And again, they said something about what was on the ark, they would have a pair of each kind, okay? A male and a female of each kind, okay? In other words, they didn't have all the different varieties of dogs, the cockapoos and all this other stuff. There would probably be, it's speculated that it was probably like maybe something like a pair of wolves. Okay, and then from the wolves, then all of the dog kind could be spread out from that, which we could wind up with dogs and hyenas and, you know, wild dogs and all these other type of things. So from that one pair, then all these different varieties come out, because now we got a million different varieties of dogs. We're coming up with new ones each week, but they're all still dogs. They are part of the dog kind, and we're going to discuss that at great length in the near future. So, but critics say, how would Adam have time to name all those animals? When critics say that Adam could not name all the animals in less than one day, is what they really mean is they could not understand how they could do it. Okay? And bear in mind that Adam has a perfect mind at this point. Sin has not entered in it. And when God made a perfect mind, Adam could probably name all them animals in 10 seconds. You know, so anyway, we don't understand what conditions were like under a perfect earth. Perfect. So we try to fit things into our framework, but our framework is totally different than what it was then. And our thinking's totally different. So they assume Adam can't do it. That's an impossibility. And so they're pointing a finger at that and say, that's impossible. The Bible's not true. Bible can't be true. And they're wrong. God is right.
Amen.
All right. And, okay. So that brings us up to where we left off last Sunday. And so now we're going to pick it up in verse 20 today as we move along. So verse 20.
21, I think.
What's that?
21, I think.
Okay, in my notes, I got through verse 19. There's not much to say about 20. I'll just say what I did here. Anyway, on verse 20 it says, but for Adam there was not any help meet for him. And there's one of the authors, he was adding a little humor in, I guess, or something like that. He's saying, you know, so Adam's looking around. He's just named all these animals. He's looking around. He needs a partner. And so he's taking a look at which one of these would I like to have to be my partner. And he looks at a giraffe. No, I don't like a giraffe. How about a hippopotamus? No, that doesn't seem to fit. How about a mouse? You know, and he's looking at all these critters, you know, trying to find a partner for him. And anyway, so aren't you glad that God, men, aren't you glad that God came up with Eve? So, okay. All right, so that ends verse 20. So, okay, let's go ahead and read. Now we're going to move forward here. Let's go ahead and read the verses 21 through 24. And who'd read that for us? John?
And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he woman and brought her into the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of the man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Shall be one flesh.
Okay, I guess that's all right. Yeah, I told you to stop at 24. Okay. So verses 21 and 22, Eve is made from Adam's rib. In verse 23, she shall be called woman. Verse 24, God institutes marriage. God institutes marriage, one man and one woman. That is the only marriage God has instituted. All this baloney that we have got going on in this world today is anti-scriptural. It's sin, okay? And we need to recognize it as such and not try to promote it. We should not try to promote something that God that God is against. And, you know, when we talk about the homosexuality and all this stuff that's going on, we know God's response to homosexuality, and all we have to do is read about Sodom and Gomorrah. And he blew those and some other territory in that area, he blew that clear off the map in his hatred and his anger. And so we know what God thinks about it. And now to go on further with all this other stuff that I just, anyway, leave that alone, Jim. But anyway, it's not God's will. It's anti-biblical, and we should not promote it, endorse it, and try to, you know, we need to seek their, we need to love them, okay? We need to try to get them saved, but our mindset should be they need counseling, they need whatever to get straightened out. There's, you know, just this thing, there's some screwed up thinking out there, a lot of it in this world today. And it's getting worse by the, at 100 miles an hour. And but anyway, we need to take a stand, a godly stand. God is totally against all this stuff that's going on. In verse 24, God institutes marriage, one man, one woman, and he says they shall leave and cleave, okay? They're to leave and form their own home, their own family, okay? And they shall be one flesh. And so when people get married, in God's eyes, they are considered one flesh. And we need to abide by God's rules are the best way to go. And we need to abide by God's rules and how we handle things. Anyway, and before we move on to verse 25, any questions or comments about what I just said? Yes, he was first. You were first.
I was thinking about this kind of last week too. A couple of things with man, woman, and then the relationship of marriage. The blessings that God gave. Did you see these three blessings that God put man there to tend the garden? But man has rejected that now, and generally want everything given to us, and we don't mm-hmm. want to work anymore.
Right.
And then he gave woman to be a blessing and a helpmeet for the man, but yet that role is, you know, we've reversed that role, which I would say precedes the homosexuality deal. We've, mm-hmm. we've disrupted the home, men don't lead, and aren't the sole providers. And then thirdly, then we see the union, the marriage relationship completely disrupted mm-hmm. now, you know, what it was intended to be. It was a perfect union between the husband and wife, and mm-hmm. and we've corrupted that as well.
And you know, I feel like Christians, I feel like we've rolled over and played dead for too long. It's time to stand up and take a stand on what God's Word says and not be wishy-washy and, well, maybe so, maybe not, you know. God makes it clear, and He makes it clear. That's my standpoint, and but my opinion is strictly my opinion, but I think that's what the Word of God teaches.
It's not your opinion, it's Bible.
It's Bible, okay. Thank you.
Your interpretation
yeah.
of what the Bible makes clear.
Yeah.
One man, one woman. I've heard it put lean, clean, and wean. They wean together in their marriage union.
Very good. I never heard the weave part.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's good.
I like that.
That's good.
That's
okay, and again, folks, we need to believe. We need to build our thinking and our beliefs on the Word of God. And a lot of times, we all have an opinion. You know, everybody has an opinion, but we can't. If our opinion does not agree with what the Word of God says, we need to change our opinion. I mean, it's that cut and dried. It's that black and white. And and I've had to change my thinking on several different occasions, you know, so throughout the years, you know, and I was thinking one thing and God's Word says something else. I think one of the two of us is wrong, you know, and it's not Him. So, any other comments before we move on? Okay, yes. No, wait, hey, John had his, let's let John go here. I keep skipping John.
John's next.
Yeah, okay. You know, I need to pray to God, that you will cause a deep sleep to fall on me every night. Because I'm up roaming around the house all night long, and anyway, in this chair, in that couch, back in bed. Anyway, Scratch. I didn't say that. Scratch that. Okay. Royce, you're on. Your turn, Royce.
What was I going to say, Dad?
I don't know.
There's only one time in the six-day creation series that God said this is not good, and that was before a woman was there. Also, when you notice this, the woman was not named at this time. It was Adam and the woman. We'll get on to that one here. And when it comes to the marriage issue, one man, one woman is the pattern, but, and this is not for us to follow, but ever since a man took more than one woman, he's not thrown out, but a lot of problems exist. Mm-hmm. Abraham, when he took the maidservant, and Ishmael is born, a lot of problems come from that. Solomon, or David, King David, his life was a mess. Mm-hmm. But yet, because he took on more than one wife, mm-hmm. and in fact, adultery was pretty important. It's a pretty important sin. Life was a miserable mm-hmm. for him because mm-hmm. of that. I think, but it's still not going to keep a person out, and it's not. This is not an excuse for a person's behavior. It's mm-hmm. just this happened ever since.
Right.
Ever since the fall. Yeah,
that's right.
The fall. And unfortunately, that's the way life is, and we have to still be faithful. So.
Good point, folks. God has established His perfect way. At any time we deviate from God's perfect way, we're going to run into problems. Because when we deviate from what He says, it is sin, and God promises He will chastise sin. You know, and there's going to be consequences to pay. And you made the point very well. Anybody else? Okay, let's move on. Where in the world were we?
25,
yeah. Verse 25. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. So they're naked, they're not ashamed. Now, after sin, they were ashamed. Just look over to verse 3:10, chapter 3, verse 10, right quick. And I'll just read it here. And, I'll start at 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And then God said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? You know, how did you know that? They didn't know that before, okay? But they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and now they, well, I guess you can't say naked. Well, nakedness in the Garden of Eden would not be evil. But anyway, sin had stepped in, and all of a sudden they're made aware of things that they were not aware of before. So, okay, let's move on. Let's go on to Genesis. We're going to go through the book, through the third chapter, and then we're going to go back, and then we're going to pick up a lot of these things we've already covered, and then we're going to delve into it more and flesh it out more, and we'll study. But right now, we're just skimming over the top, skimming the surface to get the groundwork laid, and then we're going to go back and pick up some, I think, some things that are very important issues we need to know. Okay, so who'd read Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 7 for us? Tracy?
Now the serpent was more crafty than the beasts of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, Indeed, as God said, you shall not eat from the tree of the garden. The woman said to the serpent, From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, You shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die. The serpent said to the woman, You surely will not die. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that They were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings.
Okay. Thank you, Tracy.
Okay. Satan says to Eve in verse 1. Okay. Hath God said? He's questioning. Did God really say that? Did God mean that? Did God say that? He begins questioning what God said to Eve to make Eve question God. He's starting to play with her mind. Okay? This puts doubt in her mind. And he goes on to say, Eve got in verse 2 to 3, you know, and the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the tree, fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the tree, fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Eve got the first part right. God said no, is what she's saying in verse 3. But then she adds, neither shall ye touch it. Now, folks, God didn't say that. She's adding to the word of God there. God did not say they couldn't touch it. He just said you can't eat it. You know, now that might be a minor thing, but again, it's so easy for us to, you know, to add our thinking into the word of God, okay? God never said that. And so Eve's getting in trouble already, all right? In verse 4, first of all, in verse 1, the Satan says, hath God said? Did he really say that? Did he mean that, Eve? You know? And then Satan, he flat denies the word of God. He says, ye shall not surely die. And Satan implies, God lied when he said, if you eat of the certain fruit, you will die. Satan says, you won't die. God is a liar. God is dishonest. Satan is trying to convince her that God cannot be trusted. He's working on her mind. Does Satan ever play with our minds in the same way? They just daily, just constantly, you know. And so it's the same thing's going on to went on in the Garden of Eden. It's going on today. And a lot of times we need to try to resist the devil's temptations. And sin is fun. Sin is tempting. It's alluring, you know. And the devil is constantly playing with our minds. And we see the wickedness that prevails in our land today. And I shuddered. We used to be called a Christian nation. And anymore, we have turned our back so far from God. And then people says, God bless America. Well, I think we're seeing the wrath of God being poured out on this nation now, as well as on the whole world. And it just seems to me like the end might be drawing nigh. And I hope it is. I'm just saying, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I'm ready to just get out of here. Get out of this planet. And so, anyway, verse 5. And then Satan, he cleverly makes up a lie. In verse 5, he says, God knows that by eating the fruit, okay, it will make you as gods, knowing good and evil. Eve, right now, you don't know good and evil, but God's holding back from you. There's good stuff out there, and he's holding back on you. He says God didn't want them to know good and evil because they would be equal with him. And God didn't want the competition, basically. You know, and he's planting these thoughts in her mind. He's making it sound enticing. Okay? God is knowingly holding something good from you. He's robbing you. He's restricting your joy, is the implication in what he's saying here. He entices her into forbidden, lustful desires. And does he ever do that to us? Yes, he does. Okay. We get tempted, and anyway, and again, Satan is cunning. He's smart. He knows what he's doing. He is alive and well. And I'm looking forward to that time when he gets cast into the lake of fire forever. We'll be rid of him forever. Looking forward to that time. Okay. Verse 6. Let's go ahead, before we go to verse 6, let's turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 15 and 16. And who'd read 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16? Who'd read that for us? Pastor?
Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world.
Okay. Made it very clear. Now I'm going to see how that verse literally comes alive in verse 6 here. So let's go ahead and read, verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. Okay? So Eve looked at the fruit, and she saw that it was good for food. I want it. It's there, right there is the lust of the flesh, coming right out of 1 John, okay? And it goes on to say, and it was pleasant to the eyes. There is the lust of the eyes. And a tree to be desired to make one wise, the pride of life. I don't know what the right word is here, but anyway, he's used these three different things coming right out of, 1 John hadn't been written yet, but all these principles that 1 John is telling us about, it started clear back in the Garden of Eden, just as plain as day, okay? And so she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. She ate of the fruit, and she gave also to her husband, and he did eat. They both ate the fruit. Okay, in that. Verse 7. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And the eyes of them were opened. All of a sudden, they could see, they knew good and evil at that point. They ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they immediately moved from the age of innocence to the age of sin. Okay, up to this point, they've been innocent. Now they are guilty. They are sinners. Okay. For the first time, they had a knowledge of good and evil. Before that, they had no knowledge of good and evil because there was no evil. There wasn't any. Goes on to say, and they knew that they were naked. Before that, they didn't realize they were naked. We already covered that. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Now they're ashamed. They're ashamed. And I've asked this question before, but I've got it here. I'll ask it again. Why was it wrong for Adam and Eve to eat of the fruit? It was good fruit. Such an innocent little thing. Why was it wrong? God said no. And folks, that's all we need to know. If God says no, don't do it. If God says no and we do it, that's a sin. And we're going to suffer repercussions. Now, God is willing to forgive. His arms are wide open to forgive us. But we're going to pay consequences, like Royce said. You know, David's life was miserable. And all these other things, the misery that started with Abraham's sin with Hagar, okay? I mean, that's what's going on today, right now, in the land of, in Gaza. It's them same people. You know, it's the descendants of, anyway, that started that race of people. And it says in the Bible, they're going to be a wild man. Nobody can tame them. And that's what we've had it. They've been fighting ever since. And they will continue to fight. They're not going to stop the animosity between the two with this war here. It's going to go on. But at least they're doing the best, whatever they think they can do to stop it. And anyway, I just leave that in God's hands. War is ugly. I say, these innocent people suffering. I say, Lord, But again, God knows it's not catching him by surprise. And he's fought wars for Israel in the past, and he's killed nations that rebelled, and it's happening again today. It's just an ongoing process. So anyway, I just say, Lord, just pray that the Jews will win. They'll come out victorious. We're supposed to do that. Could you mute me?
Thank you.
All right, we're back. Get back to your notes, Jim. It was wrong because God said not to. God's word is truth. Folks, every time, God's word is truth, period. No exceptions. Anytime we violate the will of God, it is a sin, regardless of what we think. We might think it's okay. We might think taking that innocent little bite of fruit was not that big of a deal. And folks, in God's opinion, that was such a big deal that as a result of that, he has cast the entire human race that's ever been born and ever will be born, they are destined to spend an eternity in hell. I mean, in a lake of fire for eternity. That's what plunged man, into that. This one simple little bite, no big deal, little white sin, little white lie, you know, things that we do, you know, it's no big deal. To God, I mean, you can't have any more of an innocent little sin than we have little sins and big sins in our mind, but you see what it means to God? Now, as I say that, it plunged the entire human race. God is going to immediately put into place the plan of salvation of where sinful men can wind up being forgiven and go to heaven. And God initiates his plan. We're coming to that very quickly. But anyway, so God's got the punishment, but already he's coming up with a solution right here in the book of Genesis from the get-go. And we're going to see that. Okay, question. We've asked this before, but I'll ask it again. It's here because some may have missed, okay? The day that they ate that fruit, did they die that day? Okay, spiritually they died. Spiritually they were they were immediately destined to the eternity in hell. They were lost spiritually. They did not die physically that day, but physical death began that day. And from that point forward, they were headed toward death. And every one of us is going to die. It's going to happen. It's part of life. And death is just as real as life is. And except for the rapture, you know, those are going to escape in the rapture, but the death process began that moment. Okay, and so they began physical death. They sinned, and they received the sin nature. They received the sin nature. And that sin nature has been passed down to all mankind ever since. We all inherit the sin nature, and it all began right there, what we're talking about right now in the Garden of Eden. They inherited the sin nature. And the sin nature is passed down to us. We got it from our parents. Well, from our dad, okay, to be specific. We'll talk about that here in a minute. But the sin nature has been passed down. We all are born into the world as they may look like an innocent little baby, you know, so cute and cuddly and, you know, but they have a sinful nature. And it won't be long till you find out they got one because they're all interested in their own needs and they'll cry and give fits. And anyway, you don't have to teach a kid how to get in a cookie jar. He does that on his own. And anyway, it's part of it. We have the sin nature. I don't have to explain that to you. Yes.
Directly to Adam, he was going to have a little bit of an argument, maybe. But he went to Eve. turning point. When we disobey God's word, if you look at the, here with all that each book is a crisis, if you look at what, every time the Jews disobeyed, boom. It's like the flood, which will get you. But this is the beginning. If you do not follow God's revealed word, look what's going to happen.
Well stated. Well stated. Yes, sir.
I think as J. Vernon McGee said, the problem was not the apple and the tree, it was the pear on the ground.
I love that. Very good. J. Vernon McGee, I love him, you know. Anyway, bless his soul. Okay. And we have got another minute. I look at my enemy up there. We don't get to move very. I'm loving this, but anyway, it's time to quit, folks. We got a half a minute. Anybody got any questions or comments before we shut her down? Yes, sir.
Conversation like this.
Yep.
I don't know if they had conversations with all the animals before this, after this. Just
Bible doesn't say. And again, we're going to take a look at Satan. We're going to take a look at, we're going to take a look at Satan and what he was like before the fall. And there's some of this is coming up. Don't miss, okay? Good stuff. John.
I think it might be good to reiterate, I think you said it, but we are better off by doing what God said. God puts parameters, or he says yes and no, and we think in our mind that, I think this looks good and it sounds good and I'm going to do it. But every case is we're better off, though we don't know it, if we follow what God has said.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that he's restricting us. He's given us a better life.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't recognize it.
Yep.
It's too late.
Yep. Sin is enticing. It looks good. And we just can't live without it. We got to have it, you know. And we're just getting in trouble for ourselves. Folks, we got to quit. We're 2.5 minutes overdue. So let's close in prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, for this good discussion this morning. And Father, again, I pray that we'll be rightly dividing the word of truth, Lord. We're on some controversial ground here, and we're going to continue so. And things are going to get more controversial than they are even now in this discussion. And so I pray that you'll give us wisdom, Lord, as to how to rightly understand it and to teach it accurately. And Lord, again, we just pray, Lord, we want to honor you. We want to honor your word. We want to glorify your name as we study these lessons. And Lord, I pray that we'll learn that sin does not pay. And there's always consequences. And we can't get around it. That's a law that you've instilled. We just pray, Father, that you'll be with us in the morning service. I pray that you'll guide what Pastor says this morning. I pray, Father, you'll take the word spoken through him and we'll apply it to our own lives, to our own hearts. We'll learn from it, we'll grow from it, and we'll apply it, Lord. We won't just be listeners, we'll be doers. And help us, Lord, to do that. And we're thankful for the privilege, Lord, of being able to study your word like we do today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.